Blog Talk Radio.
In this episode of the Grassroots Mouthpiece Show, I'll be talking with Ed Smith of Equal Vote. Equal Vote Coalition, they promote true equality of the vote itself. They believe that our current voting method is inherently unequal, and in this inequality has decidedly negative consequences. Outsized influence of money in politics, hyperpartisanship, rancor, and widespread electoral disenchantment. We will talk about their solution. One fair election. Good afternoon, Mr. Smith. How's it going?
Hey, good afternoon, Marcus. How are you? Thank you for having me on today.
I'm glad to have you on. Tell us about what really started the movement. I know I just read this off here, but what really triggered the formation of Equal Vote?
Okay, well, it's Equal Vote Local. I'm sorry. I think I might have misspelled it when I sent it to you. Well, over the last 18 months, America, its people, and its institutions have been under an assault. And for many of us, it was an awakening forcing us to look inward and decide who we want to be. And what we decided was it's time for we, the people, to stand up and with one voice declare we will not go quietly into the night. We will fight against tyranny, against oppression, and against persecution of targeted groups. And that we must put aside our differences and use the power inherited in collective action to speak truth to power. for we've seen the effectiveness of this time and time again on the healthcare vote and recently in the last couple of weeks on family separations. It's up to we the people to step forward and take back our government so that as our founders envisioned, government will serve the people, not as the current administration believes that people exist to serve those in the government. So then we sat down and we tried to figure out how do we go about accomplishing this. Well, we decided to go along with the resistance groups and helped create a grassroots blue wave movement beholden to no one except to the people. We ourselves are not a PAC. We do not take money. We do not raise money for candidates. We are all about volunteerism and about the people. And we engage proactively, whether that's through postcard campaigns, get out the vote initiatives, volunteering to assist candidates, or simply just taking to the streets like we plan to this weekend. And this is not the time for the American people to hesitate. Now is the time to act, and we must do so with dignity and respect. And as tempting as gutter politics may be, and believe me, the last couple of days I've been sorely tempted, but Michelle Obama reminds us that when they go low, we go high. It's the only true way to change the country's negative discourse and overcome the hyperpartisanship that is poisoning our democracy. We need to learn to be able to talk and not at each other. Failure to do so, failure to put in office officials who will work for the good of the people and not the special interests or the chosen few is the priority. We need to hold fast to the liberties enshrined in the Bill of Rights and to the progress we have made to realize American exceptionalism. Equal Vote Local was designed with this specifically in mind. We attempt to assist and encourage realizing these goals through a variety of social platforms such as Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, which can all be accessed through our website, equalvotelocal.com. We provide information on candidate positions through postings on Facebook on our national page, Equal, which is a secret page which we keep secret so that in this day and age, there's a lot of doxing going on. So we keep it secret and we vet the people who join the Equal Board on Facebook so they have a safe haven to talk. We also have 9 open regional vote local pages which focus more on the local issues and the candidates themselves. And then we have the 2 YouTube shows, the Blue Wave Report, which concentrates on get out the vote and calls to action on legislation at not just the national level, but also the state and even the local level. And then we have the Candidates Corner on the show. We interview Blue Wave candidates and also activists and get their opinions on the air so people can hear from the candidates in their own voices so that they can hear tonal inflections and whether they're having trouble forming an answer for a question and that they're not just getting a press release. Our 9 regional vote local pages on Facebook provide an information and variety of resources to getting out the vote. They link readers to voter registration sites, information needed to get required voter ID in states that required it, and also voter suppression alerts. We also provide information on members of Congress, calls to action, and our extensive Blue Wave database, which you can get to through our webpage, is a comprehensive database of almost every Democratic candidate at the federal and state levels, and also a numerous amount of them at the local legislative levels, as far down to actually a school. I think we had a few school board candidates listed in Texas. We currently have almost 10,000 candidates listed on this database nationwide, and about 25% of them have actually joined Equal or the respective vote local pages. We feel this is a great tool for people to research their candidates and get to know what their positions actually are instead of just absorbing a 15-second soundbite on the news or reading the bullet headline in the newspaper. The database, of course, is a constant work in progress because we update it continually as the states release their official lists when we pare it down by that. In the beginning, we did put up anybody we knew of, but as they dropped out or they didn't get enough signatures to get on the ballot, we remove them and just go by the official state lists after the filing deadlines pass. We actually, I believe, right now, as of today, have almost 43 states out of the 50 complete. And I believe there are 6 states left that have to hit filing deadlines yet. So we're doing pretty good there. We hope that by providing this information that everyone can become an actively engaged voter, because that's important. We see 46% of the public did not vote in the last election. And we think a lot of that is because people don't know about their candidates.
That's true. That's true. Now, what's your – you may have mentioned it. Could you mention your Twitter handle again?
Yeah, our Twitter handle is at Equal Vote Local.
Okay.
And you can get to everything we do through our website, which is equalvotelocal, all one word, .com. There's a link on the homepage there that will take you directly to our YouTube page, our Twitter account, or the master page for the Vote Local pages on Facebook. And then from there, you can pick which one of the 9 regions that you belong to, and you can join up in that group there as well.
That's great. What are some of the
Hold on, you. I'm not here.
Can you hear me?
Yep, now I can.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, what is your number one priority as to the November elections?
Well, our number one priority is to get out the vote, because what we've seen time and time again is when progressives vote, progressives win. And in order to take back the narrative and indeed take back the country, we feel that the number one priority right now is actually at the state level. We do believe that we need to get the House and the Senate back. God, we need to get the Senate back, because we've got to get control of the courts, as we've seen the last couple of days with these horrendous 5-4 decisions coming down from SCOTUS because of the stolen.
Yes, that was terrible. That was terrible.
But
I mean, that just made me sick. That was terrible.
Yes, it is.
Who knows? Who knows what groups will be next?
Exactly. You know, there's that old saying: first they came for this group, then they came for this group. I didn't speak up, and then they came for me, and there was nobody left to talk. You know, I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what it is. We also feel that the state level is getting overlooked somewhat, and it's extremely important because people are not realizing, or they're forgetting, or they're just getting distracted by all this gaslighting going on out of Washington. 2020 is the census. Also, redraws the district lines for Congress. And we've seen the results of gerrymandering. And the problem is, if we don't get control at the state legislative level, then you are going to have Republican-led state houses drawing congressional lines. And as we saw in the SCOTUS decision with Texas yesterday, SCOTUS has no real intention of ruling on gerrymandering. They are kicking the can down the road and leaving it up to the states, which technically by the Constitution, as much as we'd like to argue it, technically the Constitution does say that states run the elections. So the Supreme Court, by kicking the can down the road, has just made it so much more important that we get out the vote on a state level. You know, too many people stay home on off years. They only get up for the presidential election. And that's got to stop, because people don't realize every election matters, whether it's a state level, whether it's a federal level, whether it's your school board. Every vote counts. Every election matters.
We need to get out the vote. That's our number one priority.
And Deborah Barros and Vanjie Williams, I've talked to them a lot about this issue. You know, it's imperative. We had 46.7% of the people that were eligible to vote in this country in the 2016 election did not vote. 46.7%. That number is insane. It is outrageous. There is no reason that a developed country like the United States should only be putting forth 53% of their people to vote when every other member of the G7 has like 70-plus percent voting percentages. And the thing is, there's so many issues with the way things are done today that people are just waking up to, and they've got to realize gerrymandering and voter ID laws, which are only going to get worse if we don't take back these state legislators. They're designed to do nothing more than to suppress the vote. And my question to the GOP would be this: if your policies are so great, then why are you afraid of voting? You do everything you can to suppress the vote. They want to take us back to Jim Crow, for crying out loud.
That's so true. I said what you're saying is so true. On my end here in Alabama, what I'm encountering with politicians is we have the Democrats who have already won
their primaries, and the government, the office holders we have now and party leaders have not released any money. I don't know if they're going to release some at the last minute, or if I don't know if they plan to help them financially at all. Here in Alabama, a lot of our politicians are feeling like they're just left to fend for their own. The party really offers no financial support.
Exactly, and that's one thing the DNC has to wake up and realize, and that's all. I think that's something that is bothering a lot of progressives and a lot of Democrats, especially in red states, is the seeming disavowing of Democratic candidates through money, that they're not funding these campaigns. And we've seen a couple of times, Georgia last year, Kansas last year, in special elections, that had the DNC just put some money into those campaigns, that those seats might have flipped. These were seats that were 20, 25, 30% in favor of Trump. And the special election came up, and these candidates, Georgia and Kansas, and I forget the other one, it might have been Florida off the top of my head, I can't remember, that these people were supposed to get wiped out. They had no prayer of winning, and they came within 5 percentage points. Now, a little bit of money might have been all it took to put them over to the top, but it wasn't there. Now, what I'm going to say to any candidate out there that might be listening is the DNC, I don't know what's going on there, and I'm hoping they change, but you've got another resource here. Michael Bloomberg came out last week and pledged $70 million to progressive candidates across the country, and he stated he was going to do that through his political action committee, not through the Democratic Party. So to any candidate out there not getting funds from the Democratic Party, I implore you, call Bloomberg.
And that would be smart, too, because it seems the money never trickles down to the candidates themselves and to the communities. We got to start getting money down to the grassroots level, to the people who live in these neighborhoods. I've seen too much of people having to organize and come 100 miles just to walk one or two neighborhoods. You need to be empowering those people at the local level who live down the street, who can see these people every day. They can talk to them every other day and help them organize. We got too much of this ceremony position type stuff going on. Everybody wants to hold on to the money. They want to have big banquets and big showings at these expensive motels and all that. All that's fine and good, but no money is reaching the people who actually live in these neighborhoods, who actually have a grassroots name and grassroots reputation. No money is reaching those folks.
Well, a few things we have to work on is, first of all, you're absolutely right, until we can get the money out of politics and get Citizens United overturned, which is not going to happen anytime soon with the current makeup of the Supreme Court, we've got to be funding local level, because we forget, a house is not built from the roof down. A house is built from the foundation up. And I think people tend to forget that, and they think they can build it from the roof down. Well, that's not going to work. You got to start at the bottom, and you're almost in a position now, especially with a lot of the state legislators being red, at the point of where you've got a foundation, but now you need to start building the floors. And in order to do that, you got to throw money towards the bottom and build it back up, because the Democratic Party, you know, in the last 10 years, and I don't want to say it's because of Obama, because during the Obama administration, we lost a lot of state seats. And I don't know if that was because we were paying too close of attention at the federal level and we forgot about the state level or what happened. But we need to rebuild that. And the only way we're going to do that is by supporting progressive candidates at the local level, whether that's city council, whether that's state legislator, state senator. And I don't want to hear about you can't win the election. We've seen time and time again, Trump plus 20 districts that have been won by progressive candidates, time and time again. How many seats have already flipped during this administration? The people in this country are begging for a reason to vote for a progressive candidate, and we need to learn to give it to them. We cannot just be the anti-Trump party as much as we want to be.
No.
We need to be out there supporting candidates. We need to be out there putting forth. Exactly. And we need to be putting forth our position. And this is something that always drives me incredibly insane, especially with some of the states in the Deep South and the red states, is people tend to vote based on one or two issues. All right. and they realize, and this is something I tell every voter, what I want you to do if you're listening today, before you vote in your next primary, next general election, whatever, I want you to sit down and I want you to make a list of your 10 most important issues. I don't care what it is, abortion, gun control, school violence, education, food stamps, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. List your top 10 issues. Now, I want you to take the candidates and put them in two columns, one for the blue, one for the red. And then I want you to go down the list and put a check mark next to the candidate who's closest to your position on each one of those issues. And then I want you to take a good, hard look at it. Because I promise you, if you take a good, hard look at it, you might have one or two on the red side. But I guarantee you're going to have six to seven on the blue side. So voting based on those one or two issues and saying, okay, well, you know, whatever, I'm pro-choice, I'm pro-Second Amendment, I'm pro-school choice, whatever, you're going to wind up doing yourself and your community more harm than good because you didn't take into account all factors. You just took into account the one or two things that you were told to take into account for. Every 4 years, for example, we see every 4 years, we see the same argument from the right, especially from the NRA. This candidate for president is the most anti-gun candidate you will ever get. They're going to take away your gun. Would somebody like to tell me the last time anybody put forth a gun confiscation bill? I can't remember one since the assault weapon ban.
No, it's all the Republican strategy. The Republican
hyperbole.
Yes, the Republican strategy nationwide, and it's here local too. It's all based upon fear of the other.
And you know what? 25, 30 years ago, I might understand people buying into that. But come on, Marcus. We've got the internet today. It doesn't take too hard to do it long to do a Google search to find out the truth and find out a candidate's positions. It takes you 5 minutes, if that. I mean, getting back to some of these issues. I mean,
you're totally correct. Because I had talked to some of my friends, they were Republicans. Don't hold that against me. But they were, you know, were talking, and they were lifelong Republicans. But they are able to see through some of this stuff. But we do, Trump does have a base of people who are not internet savvy, but they know how to turn to Fox News, or they know how
And this is one of the other things that, personally, I'm for. And if we ever get control back, I'm going to push hard for this. You remember a little thing we had before Reagan called the Fairness Doctrine?
Yes.
It was basically a law that kept companies from monopolies in the media like we see with Sinclair Media today. All right, and there was a reason for that. It also had in it that you had to tell the truth. Okay? So now Reagan repeals that, and I really honestly believe that that was the start of the downfall with the discourse in this country, because that allowed you to get things like Sinclair Media, like Fox News, and I'm not going to say it's just the right. The left does it too. We've got CNN. We've got MSNBC. All right?
But we got to admit, too, that Fox did win a Supreme Court ruling that they don't have to tell the truth.
Exactly. And that was because of the repeal of the Fairness Doctrine. But here's the thing. News should be about the facts. I mean, you got to remember Walter Cronkite. Yeah, news was boring back then, but you got the truth. And you know what? And like I said, I'm not going to just blame this on Fox News, because I've seen left side anchors do the same thing. All right?
But very true. I have also.
Instead of driving an agenda, let's start talking and let's start telling the truth, because you know what? Here's the thing with the Republican Party. They are the party of fear. And I don't care what your problem is. The Republican Party is not interested in solving it. They are interested in making you afraid of it and telling you who to blame for it, because that is how you win elections.
Politics of fear.
That is how you win elections. Exactly. And we need to get this back because, you know, we got a lot of problems in this country. I mean, we see voter ID laws being passed under the false premise of fraud, which time and time again has proven nothing more than erroneous fear-mongering designed to keep people from voting. Chris Kobach just got lit up last week by a judge who actually made him go back to law school because his arguments were so bad for him with the cross-check system. I mean, the question people need to be asking at every opportunity to our legislators who support these policies is, why don't you want us to vote? If you're doing the work of the people and your policies are so great for me, why do you not want me to vote? I mean, let's be honest here, Marcus, especially in your state in Alabama, okay? Your state is one of the redder states in the country, but it's also ranks near the bottom in a lot of things, education, health care, wealth. And you look at the policies of the GOP, all right? Let's look at health care. They're pushing
yeah.
to repeal
and
the ACA
them.
Again.
Look at them closing all the DMVs down. You can only take a look at – I know you may be familiar with them here in Alabama closing all these DMVs down in the black belt. In the black belt.
So you couldn't get the ID to vote. Exactly. And it's racial gerrymandering. It is. It's absolutely racial gerrymandering because they know people will vote the other way because at the end of the day, people have to sit down and, like I said, write those 10 things down. I implore people all the time. Do this and research. Don't just listen to me. Don't just listen to you. Don't just listen to Shepard Smith, Sean Hannity, Chris Cuomo, Rachel Maddow, whoever. I don't care. Don't listen to us. Do your homework. Be informed. Research. Read up. Go to the Library of Congress website. Go to your state legislative website, and you'll see the laws that are being put forward by each party. And I guarantee you that 95% of the GOP laws are put forth to help corporations and people making more than $250,000 a year. This week alone, Donald Trump put forth a policy that would send us back to the days of the Wild West in healthcare. It would allow for denial of coverage for pre-existing conditions. It would allow them to charge the elderly more than three times the rate. I'm sorry, you know, especially with the evangelicals. Didn't the Bible say something about honoring thy mother and father? How is taking away your mother and father's health care, their pensions, because believe me, the GOP goes after those too, their Social Security, their Medicaid, and any other program that they need to live on in their old age, honoring thy mother and father? It's not.
And also they don't care anything about that because they have acquired and through their policies they are ensuring generational wealth with themselves. Look at some of these politicians who really push these things. Look who are they connected to, the lobbyists they're connected to. And the companies they're connected to, and look at these people when they started from humble beginnings, and then now they're connected to the gun lobby or Walmart or somewhere else, and then all of a sudden they're super rich, just like Richard Shelby here in Alabama. He basically had nothing, but once he got in, started doing his little things with military intelligence and things like that, now he's one of the richest, worth millions and millions of dollars. He did not get that honestly.
Marcus, look at Mitch McConnell. His family wealth has gone up more than 900% since he took office. You're telling me something's not right? Everything's above board there? It's not. It's insider trading at the best, and at worst, it's bribery. Here's the thing: Donald Trump is right about one thing. Every other country's laughing at us, and you know why? Because we've legalized bribery in any other country, including third world countries like Venezuela. Lobbyists would be called criminals. They'd be brought up on charges of corruption, and yet we allow it.
They allow the lobbyists because they know that's how they can make money outside of that check that the American people give them. So they allow lobbyists there so somebody can make them an offer that they're willing to sell their souls for.
Well, sure. Not only that, you look at a lot of politicians and where they go to work after they retire from Congress. You see all these Republicans jumping ship. I guarantee you 50% of them or more are going to work for lobbyist groups.
Exactly.
We need
to be
turmoil.
A moratorium on that where they can't do nothing like that for at least 5 years at least.
The problem is we need to get the money out of politics and have publicly financed campaigns, first off. Second off, no member of Congress that is elected and seated should be allowed to vote on any bill that has anything to do with an industry or company that they worked with in the last 10 years. All right, we see it with Tillerson. Did anyone really believe that this whole thing wasn't about Russian oil? He was the CEO of Exxon, for crying out loud. And we see it with all these ones Trump is supporting. Betsy DeVos, education secretary, making money hand over fist off education, let me tell you. There's a reason why she repealed the student loan protections, because her family owns part of the bracket. These are, and you're right. It also needs to be on the opposite side. When you retire from Congress, you are not allowed to go work for a lobbying group for 5 to 10 years, because that's how these people make their money outside of Congress.
Yeah, and look at, and let's not forget Clarence Thomas. He sat on that board. He sat on that Montesano board, and he has not ruled against them not one time in his whole entire Supreme Court justice career.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and we need term limits. And we also Supreme Court should not, these court appointments should not be lifetime. I'm sorry, they should not.
Yeah, I thought I was the only one who felt like that. I don't think that they should serve a lifetime either. Give them 10 years, maybe two terms, you know, let them surpass two terms. Only a president can have 8 years, so why does the Supreme Court should have more than that?
Which is interesting you bring up.
Give them 10-year terms.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because do you know why the president has only two terms allowed? Because back when, we had a president that was so popular, he had won four elections in a row. And the Congress at the time said, oh, that's too much power for one person to hold. So they instituted term limits. Funny enough that there's no term limits on them. We have people in Congress 30, 40, 50 years. Hell, they wheeled Strom Thurmond in on a stretcher once to take a vote. And people forget that. The corruption, and this has got to be one of the biggest things going forward, is getting rid of the corruption and the money in politics. But in order to do that, we've got to take back the narrative. And the narrative's got to become we the people, of the people, by the people, for the people, because we're headed down a very dark path in this country right now, and it's very scary, because incoming inequality is at the worst it's ever been. I mean, there was a study came out today that said in 3/4 of the states in the country, teachers don't make the minimum standard of living. Teachers don't make it. Teachers. I mean,
wow.
That's just ludicrous, and that's why we've got to get. You know, we've got to get candidates in there like Deborah Barrows, friend of yours, I believe. She's working hard to ensure health care and quality schools for the children. She's coming up on a runoff on July 17th. We've got Lee Turner in South Carolina, who right now, as we speak, is in a runoff. John Moser and Michelle Carhart up in Maryland, their primary is today. These are all candidates that we help, Equal Vote Local helps, through getting out their message, and also we do things like tweet storms, where we've got two coming up before the runoff for Deborah Barrows. We did two tweet storms for Vangie Williams. I'm not sure if your listeners are familiar with a tweet storm, but I'll give you a little lowdown on that. And they can get to those tweet sheets through our website, equalvotelocal.com. We have a button up there that says tweet sheets, and we keep them up there for a while. So even if you've missed a tweet storm, you can go back and click on them and do them. What a tweet storm basically is we come up with a sheet of about 20 to 30 bullet points. And there's a site out there called Click to Tweet, which allows you to write up the tweet, and they will put a URL link. They'll create a URL link, which we can put into a spreadsheet. And then when somebody out there wants to do the tweet storm, they go to the tweet sheet, and they click on that little URL link. And what it does is it opens up their Twitter and pre-fills their tweet box with that tweet, and all they have to do is click the button that says tweet, and it goes out on their account. No muss, no fuss, no coconuts. They don't have to do anything other than a couple clicks, and it puts the message out there. And we found that to be very, very successful. We did two for Vangie Williams in Virginia that we had over, the last count I had was over 6,000 tweets and retweets. We did one for Judge Sue Bell Cobb on like 2 days' notice. that got over 1,000 retweets. So these are a really good way for candidates to get their message out to the people. So we like to help out with that, and we work with Twitter Warriors on that. They're a group that's solely devoted to Twitter. And we also have numerous other sister groups that we work with, like Flip Nation and the resistance groups. I mean, we ourselves have about 20,000 members in Equal and probably another 5 to 10,000, I would guess. I haven't done the latest counts in Vote Local. But along with our sister groups, we reach a good portion of the country. We reach millions of people along with our sister groups, and we all work together. So when one of us puts a message out, usually it's a bunch of different groups that put their message out.
Like a snowball effect.
Exactly, and this worked really well. I mean, Vanjie Williams in Virginia, she won her primary in a historic night in Virginia. I don't know for how many people realize this, but there were 9 Democratic parties in Virginia. 8 of them had a woman running. All 8 of those primaries were won by a woman. Now, that in itself is magnificent because it shows people want change, Marcus. They're tired of career politicians.
It shows people won't change, and it also shows that you guys have a really great strategy.
Yeah, you're fading out again. Okay.
No, I was just saying you got a great strategy going, and we need to bring that strategy local with the tweets and things like that.
Exactly. And we do a lot of things. We work with Postcards for Voters, sending out cards all across the country. We have the YouTube channel, which, like I said, we do the Candidates Corner. Deborah Barrows has an interview up there. Vanjie Williams in Virginia has an interview up there. We've even interviewed local candidates like Nell Bing up in Columbia Heights, Minnesota. She's running for city council. Brandi Goyette, who I believe is running for a county commissioner seat down in Pasco County, Florida. She came on the show. So we're not just solely looking at the national and local levels. We're looking at our national and state levels. We're looking at the local levels, too, because we truly believe that to take the narrative back in this country, we have to start at the local level. You don't.
Yes.
You cannot start at the top and work your way down. And this is something that I try to explain to a lot of people who are clamoring for a third party also, is that, well, then you need to start at the local level. And I'll give you a little background on me. When Ross Perot ran for president way back when, I was a high-ranking member of his campaign. I was a high-ranking member of his party. And one thing I learned shortly after the election was two things. A, you need money, which B, means you're probably going to have to sell out, which is why the party fell apart, because we wouldn't sell out our ethics. But the thing is, you can't start it from the top down. You have to start it from the bottom up. So you have to start by building your party, getting your party on the ballots, getting them registered, getting local candidates, and maybe even some state-level candidates. Run a few people for state assembly, state senate, what have you. Then once you get your campaigns going and get your parties going, that's when it's time to build. That's when it's time to go after your governor's seat or your vice, you know, and start running candidates at a higher level, congressional levels. You're not going to win overnight. And I think people are so programmed to instant gratification that they're not willing to take the time and invest into building something. And the fact of the matter is, politics in this country is broken, and we need to rebuild it. And we've got good people out there, Marcus. Deborah Barrows, she's great. I mean, you know,
yeah,
Vanjie,
I've known her for a long time. She's very passionate. She believes in what she says, and she's going to do what she says. She does not mind speaking truth to power, and we need more politicians like that.
Exactly. We need new blood, fresh faces, people who are going to work for the people and not for the corruption, not for the system, for the people. And, you know, I get back to Vanjie for a second. Vanjie up in Virginia, she's our biggest success to date. She was a very big underdog when we got involved with her. And she not only won, but she was up against 2 other candidates in her primary. Marcus, she won both of those candidates' home districts.
Wow.
Both of the other candidates' home districts. She won them. So you know, I hope we had a small part in that. I believe we did. And we're gonna keep working with her because she's a public service that has solved problems for our federal government before. She's a strategic planner. She works on an array of projects that we rely on every day. After 9/11, she was tapped by Congress to form a team and come up with the best way to secure the nation's airports. Her team hired nearly 70,000 airport control screeners and wrote some of the regulations that would serve as the foundation for the TSA. A few years after the space shuttle disaster over Texas, she was chosen to help NASA get NASA's space flight program back on track. I mean, these are the candidates we need. You know what? There was I'm drawing a blank on the name. The big science guy on I'm drawing a blank on his name. But anyway, he was on and he was looking at the professions of the people in Congress. And he was going down the line and he's going, lawyer, 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 lawyer. Where's the rest of life? Where are the people? Where are the doctors? Where are the educators? Where are the mechanics? Where are the nurses?
Yes.
Why is it all just lawyers running the show? The government is supposed to be of, for, by, we, the people. Not of, by, and for the lawyers and the corporations.
You got all these lawyers. Got all these lawyers, and on both sides, you got all these lawyers, and that's why the politics has turned into what they've turned into, and that's why
exactly.
You see the Supreme Court and these laws being pushed to the max and to the edge by the Trump administration. They're going to test the limits and push the limits. I mean, look at Donald Trump, his fixer. The lawyers.
Exactly.
Everybody's got a bunch. The lawyers, you know, and I got lawyers in my family. But like you said, we need a more diverse ruling class,
mm-hmm.
locally, statewide, and in D.C.
Exactly. Because I'll tell you right now, after today's ruling by SCOTUS on the, I'm sorry, I'm going to say what it is, the Muslim ban. It is not a travel ban. It is a Muslim ban. He said it himself more than once. All right, but after that ruling today, you tell me that he has not got somewhere in the back of his mind 1944 Japanese internment camps. What do
yes.
you think that these camps are that he's putting on these military bases for people to come up through Central America, through Mexico? They're nothing more than 1944 Japanese internment camps.
You're right, and it's being rumored. I want my listeners to know there's been a lot of rumors on TV and around Alabama that they're thinking about putting one down in Alabama, in South Alabama, one of these camps for immigrants at one of the military bases.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing that I don't get. We're supposed to be better than this. Lady Liberty, what does her tablet say? Give me your tired report, your huddled masses. What does football say? And this is something that irks me no end, personally. All right, is people who cherry pick the Bible to justify their positions on immoral actions. What does the gospel say? I don't want to hear what the Old Testament says. I don't want to hear what let me clarify. I do care what they say. But what did the gospel say? What did the Savior, Jesus Christ himself, have to say about these things? What it boils down is to one sentence. Love thy neighbor as thou would love thyself.
That is so true. And on that note, I'm going to have to end the show. Tell us one more time in this last minute we got left how people can contact you, help you, join you. Give us the information.
The easiest way is to go right out to our website, equalvotelocal.com. It's all one word. And from there, there is a box that you can contact us. It will send us an email to our email account. I'll give you that also if they want it. It's equal2018@gmail.com. You can email us there. And on our website are the links you need to get to our Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube accounts. And I would greatly appreciate it and invite all your listeners to go out to our YouTube account. We have some special reports on gun control. We have a 5-part series on Immigration and Customs